I want you to open your Bibles with me this evening in the book of Judges. The chapter is the chapter 11. That's the book of Judges, chapter 11. And whenever we gather here this evening, I think very specially of a dear friend who's missing this evening with us, was gathered with us and took part and carried the flag for the British Legion so many years in this place, and that's our friend Lexi Gilmer, whom the Lord called home to glory. And we do remember that family circle. We pray that God will comfort them and sustain them even at this time, that the Lord will indeed be with them. The book of Judges, chapter 11 and verse number 1. Let us read some verses from this passage of God's word. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a great or a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare his sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah, and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren, and dwelt in the land of Tob, and there were gathered vain men to Jephthah, and went out with him. It came to pass in process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, Come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, Did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why ye come unto me now when you are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, Therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, If ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? Verse 29, Then the Spirit of the Lord came unto Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah to Gilead, and from Mizpah to Gilead of Gilead, he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord, and said, If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be, that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of mine house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. And he smote them from Aroer even till they came to Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plain of vineyards, with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with trembles and with dances, and she was his only child. Beside her he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass that when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. And she said unto him, My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon. And she said unto her father, Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And he said, Go, and he sent her away for 2 months. And she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. It came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow which he had vowed. And she knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite 4 days in a year. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. Let's just bow for a wee word of prayer. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we bow before thee in the Savior's precious name. We thank thee for thy precious word, and we pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt take of thy word and write it upon the hearts of every one that is gathered here. We pray that our God, that thou wilt speak to our hearts and bring each one to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their personal Savior and friend. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for his glory. Amen. We read the story in this 11th chapter of the book of Judges. A man who made a vow unto the Lord and sacrificed everything in ways, and practically in every way, he sacrificed for his country. You see, the backcloth of this story is found in the chapter number 10. And in chapter number 10, it tells us that the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. That phrase has been repeated a number of times, that the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. In other words, they had done evil before, and God had delivered them, but they did evil again. They added to their sin. And not only did they serve false deities and heathen deities, but they served many, adding sin upon sin. The word of God tells us in chapter 10, verse 7, "And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon." And we find that for 18 years the children of Israel were in bondage, verse number 8. "And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel 18 years. All the children of Israel that were on this side of Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead." And so we find they were sore distressed because of their sin against God. In other words, God humbled them because of the sin of their nation. And of course, then the Bible tells us that the Lord reminded them of their past deliverances and how that once again they had fallen away into sin. In the verse number 14, he said, "Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation." And we look back over the history of our nation and the history of this United Kingdom. We realize that in many ways and at many times, this nation that once honored the Lord, that once had a faith and a trust in God and put God first in their lives, so many times this nation has turned its back upon God and has gone their ways, the ways of the flesh and their own way, and they've served the gods of self and of sin, and they've turned their back upon the Lord. Thank God it tells us in that chapter 10 and verse 15, the children of Israel said unto the Lord, "We have sinned." They acknowledged their sin unto God. And I believe that that is a secret of God's blessing, friend, when this land of ours acknowledges its sin against God, because this nation has turned its back upon the God who's delivered us over and over again. It is true, we sing the hymn, "O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come." But is it not true? Is it not true, my friends, that this nation has forgotten the God who has delivered them in the ages that are past? And he is not their hope for the years to come, because the nation has turned its back on God and left God out of their lives and out of the story completely and out of the country. They have turned away from the Lord. But as they cried unto God, and as they sought the face of God, and they put away the strange gods, verse 16, from among them, and served the Lord, and God was grieved for the misery of Israel. God was grieved for their misery. And God turned to them again. God in grace and God in mercy and God in love turned to the land that had turned their back upon him. And whenever they repent of their sin,
God was a God ready to pardon. God was a God that was ready to forgive. But now we find again at the end of the story that once again they've turned back to their old ways. They've gone back to their sinning. They've gone back to just serving self and following after other gods. And now we find that there's an enemy that's on the door. The children of Ammon, they are upon their doorstep once again, and they're seeking to overcome them. And they're in need, and their back's against the wall. And somehow in the midst of this situation, they think about a young man whose name is Jephthah. And now they think about him. And we find this young man, believe it or not, in chapter 11, the book of Judges, but we find him in Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of faith, because this young man had turned his life around and became a man of faith. I want us to think a few moments tonight. First of all, I want us to think about his past, because you know, this young man didn't start well. He didn't start well in life. The Bible tells us, look at verse number 1. He was a mighty man of valor. He was the son of an harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons. And his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, thou shalt not inherit our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. And so we find that he didn't start well. He was the son or the product of his father's immoral behavior. And Gilead's other sons didn't want to share their inheritance with this son of a harlot. And the Bible tells us that they forced him out. They forced him to leave home. They thrust him out. But is it not true, my friend? Is it not true that whilst they thrust him out of their home, there were those that were ready to take him in? And the reality is, if you look in this passage of God's word, it tells us in verse 3, Jephthah fled from his brethren, and he dwelt in the land of Tob, and there were gathered vain men unto Jephthah, and went out with him. In other words, a band of outlaws. They gathered. He was thrust out of his own home. But now this band of outlaws, the bad company, the sinful company, was ready to take this young man in. And yet, friend, this amazing thing is this. In spite of all those things against this young man, God overrules in the story. And something happens in his life. I don't know when it happened. And I don't know how it happened, but this I know, it did happen. That this young man who once was the son of a harlot woman, and this young man that once was cast out from his own home, this young man became a young man of faith and trust in God. And in the process of time, Israel repented of their sins, and they looked for a man, and they thought about Jephthah to lead them against the Ammonites. I believe that this was God's work, friend. I believe in the sovereignty of God, that God made them and directed them to this young man, the young man that had been sent away. And they said to him, come, verse number 6, chapter 11, come and be our captain. Think of it, the young lad that was cast out as a nobody, a young lad that spent his time away from home and dwelt amongst the outlaws. And then something happened in his life, and they said, come and be the head of our army, be our captain. In actual fact, they went further. They said in verse 8, and be our head over the inhabitants of Gilead. You know, God had worked in this young man's life. You know, friend, is it not true? When did they look for this young man to come and lead them? When their back was against the wall, there was nowhere else to go. And is that not true? That many people, my friend, when there's nowhere else to go, then they say, we better turn to God. How many times in my ministry have people come to me and said, you know, in the midst perhaps of sickness or tragedy in their homes, the preacher, would you pray for my son? Would you pray for my daughter? Would you pray for my dad? My friend, until that moment, they had no thought of God. They had no place for God. It was only when their back was against the wall and there was nowhere else to go, they say, pray for them. We need to bring God into the story. And that's what happened here whenever there was nowhere else to turn. They said, we need a leader. We need a man to lead us. And they sought for this young man, Jephthah. And they humbled themselves and they turned to him to be the head over the inhabitants of Gilead, and they desired him to rule over them. But is it not true that many men and women, my friend, whenever they're in the day of trouble, they want God, but when everything's going fine, they've no place for him. Do you remember what they cried out concerning the Lord Jesus Christ? We will not have this man to rule over us. They didn't want Christ. They didn't want him. They didn't need him. And then, of course, when the day of trouble comes, would you pray? Pray to God to help. His past. Notice his profession. And this is why I say to you, friend, that something happened in this young man's life. I don't know when, I don't know how, but something did. But the grace of God met this young man. And I tell you, that's a wonderful thing. When God meets a young man or a young woman or an older person or a little child, and God reaches down and saves them and turns their life around. Look at verse 9. Whenever these men came to Jephthah, it says this, and Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? He was acknowledging, friend, the Lord. Isn't it interesting? The elders never mentioned the Lord until this young man took his stand for the Lord. And know how blessed it is when somebody has the courage to take a stand for God. To take a stand for God, that they're not ashamed, that they say with the words of the scriptures, and Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We live in a day and an age. This world is not a friend to grace or to God, friend. You're laughed and you're mocked and you're scoffed today if you mention the name of Jesus and that you love the Savior. Let me tell you, my friend, it takes a real man. It takes a real woman of courage to take their stand and say, you can mock and you can laugh, but I love the Lord. I love him. He's my Savior. And here was a young man and he had the courage. I don't know how it happened, but he came to faith in God. Let me ask you tonight, have you your faith and trust in the Lord? Every one of us are travelers to God's eternity. And we don't know the day or we don't know the hour. I was down in our congregation down in Mulleglass, or so was our brethren, down in Mulleglass. Having after the harvest, we had the harvest supper. And I was talking to friends there, and we were talking to these people, and he was talking about a business which he has, actually, although he's down from the Newry district, is a business just down the road here from us in Macrofeld. And he was in the full bloom of health, Fred. Let me tell you, that businessman was buried this afternoon. It just took a moment. And I can think about the joy that was in his face as he sat with us, as he talked with us, and he talked even about his local business here. But this afternoon, he was laid in Mother Earth. Why? Because we're travelers to eternity. And last year, we were honored as in years that are past with my friend, Lexi. But let me tell you, my friend, he's absent tonight. And I can say something else. Last year after the service, Lexi came back to the Lord. I had the joy of pointing him back to the Lord this service last year. And Lexi's in glory tonight. Because shortly After that, he was diagnosed with illness. The Lord called him. Where's your faith tonight? My friend, let me tell you, some trust in horses, the scripture says, and some in chariots. But I remember the name of the Lord our God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And friend, let me tell you, any old dead fish can go with the tide. It takes a lively one to swim again it. To say, I love the Lord. Here was a young man, and listen, he said, if the Lord deliver us. Yes, they were looking to him, but his trust was in the Lord. And you know something wonderful happened, friend? Because when this young man took the courage to bring God into it, look at verse 10. And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness between me, or between us, if we do not so according to thy word. Because he took a stand for God, thank God he gave them courage to take a stand. Because he had the backbone, thank God he put backbone, not wishbone, into the elders of Israel. And they said, the Lord be witness between us. You know, this young lad was an outcast, but I have good news tonight. God gathers the outcasts. I was thinking, you know, it says, greater love of no man than this. I was with members of the local station, Royal Ulster Constabulary GC, and Royal Ulster Constabulary Reserves GC yesterday at the memorial down in the police station. And as I was quoting to them at that little service there, greater love of no man than this, and a man that laid down his life for his friend. And I said this morning at communion, no greater love hath man than this, than he lays down his life for his friends. But let me tell you, there's a greater love than this. Because God did not send his son to lay down his life for his friends while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. That's love, indeed. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here's his profession. He says, if the Lord deliver them before me. He was honoring the Lord. Tell me, have you the courage to honor God, friend? And you know the way you honor him? You receive him as your Savior. Young man, he says in the scriptures, give me thine heart. That's the way that you honor the Lord. I think of those in First and Second World Wars. I think of those that even are serving for Queen and Country across the world tonight. And many of those young men and young women went away and never returned to the shores of Ulster. They died in the cause of freedom. They vowed allegiance. They professed an allegiance to their queen and country. And they paid the ultimate sacrifice. We notice, first of all, his past. We notice his profession. Very quickly, notice his prudence. Because before, we didn't read it tonight, but you read it when you go home, if God allows us to do that. Before going into battle, he seeks to ascertain why the enemy was attacking Israel. What was the battle all about? And so he sends messengers to the king of the children of Ammon. You see, as far as he was concerned, war wasn't the first line of attack. As we know, it's easier to get into war, it's harder to get out of it. And nations have found that to this very day, how easy it is to start it. It's not just as easy to finish it. And so we see the prudence of this young man. He didn't want to fight the battle simply for fighting a battle. He didn't want a deliverance to come to him just to glorify his name. No, he wanted to know what it was all about. Oh, we found out in verse 13. It says, the king of the children of Ammon answered unto the messengers of Jephthah, because Israel took away my land. That's why. But friend, that wasn't true. That was not true. They did not have this land. Look at verse 21. And the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all his people into the hands of Israel. Verse 23. So now the Lord God of Israel hath dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel. And so this was of the Lord. God had given them this land. And so therefore we find that whenever the king of the Amorites made the charge against Jephthah, you are dwelling in my land. Verse number 27, what was the answer? I have not sinned against thee, but thou doest wrong to war against me. The Lord be judge. The Lord, the judge, be judge this day between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon. Let me tell you something. Interesting part here. Do you know why he was able to answer him? Because he knew his history. He knew what the battle was all about, friend. And he wouldn't let the king of Ammon rewrite history. He was not willing for to give away the territory that God had given unto them. There are many today that want to rewrite history. And the tragedy is that so many are sucked into it because they don't know their history of the deliverance of God in days that are past. He says, Ammon, no, this ground was never yours. This is ours because God give it. God give us this land. And friend, let me tell you tonight, God has given us this little piece of land. And may we never hand it away. This is a precious heritage of the Lord. He says, you know, I'm not doing you wrong. You're fighting against me. You're fighting against God. The Lord, the judge, be judged this day. And dear unsaved person, let me tell you tonight, as you listen to this preacher speaking about your need of Jesus Christ, you're fighting against God. God has called you to repentance in days that are past. God has given you opportunities to come to him and know the joy of sins forgiven through the precious blood that his son shed upon the cross of Calvary. But many are fighting against the Lord. Then we come to his promise. You know, this is a serious part, because if you go down to verse number 29... he makes a vow to God. He makes a vow to God. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. And today we need the Spirit of God to know what to do and how to fight. He's about to face the battle, friend. He makes a vow to God. He knew he had to fight, but he was looking to the Lord for his deliverance. And it is suggested that Jephthah felt that he had to make a vow to obtain help from God. Some say that he was hasty in his vow. He was harsh and rash in his vow. Other commentators say that he was wrong to make the vow to God. My friend, let me tell you, the Bible doesn't tell me that. But the Bible does tell me it's wrong for us not to fulfill our vow. It's not wrong to make the vow. It's wrong to not fulfill the vow. Because God says, if you've vowed a vow to me, God says, you've got to pay. But I do believe that Jephthah did not fully consider the full implications of what he was saying. And there is an element of rashness here. It certainly cost him a lot to keep it. But you see, he not only made a promise to God, he said, God, let's just look at it. Verse 31, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering unto the Lord. That brings me to the performance, friend. The battle begins. We find that Jephthah passes over unto the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivers them into his hand. In verse 33, he smote, and there was a very great slaughter. The children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. God gave them the victory. And so we find that when Jephthah comes home in victory, and as he's coming to his house, remember the vow he made to God. He said, whatever is the first to meet me at the house, he said, shall surely be the Lord's. And I will offer it up for a burnt offering. People ask the question, did that mean that Jephthah offered up his daughter as a sacrifice? No, friend, it doesn't. But he kept his vow. He kept his vow to God. Because in actual fact, if you look in verse 31, in the original it says, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's. And the word and in the original is also translated or. Here was the alternative. Shall surely be devoted to the Lord, or I will offer it up for a burnt offering unto the Lord. He did not offer his daughter as the burnt offering, but he kept his vow to God. If you go on down to verse 37, friend, it says this. And she said unto her father, let this thing be done for me. Let me be alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountain and bewail my virginity. Doesn't say to bewail her death. It says to bewail her virginity. And then it says in verse 39, it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow which he had vowed, and she knew no man. Why was it that Jephthah said, you have troubled me, my daughter? She was his only child. And you see, my friend, whenever he was making that vow and he fulfilled that vow to give her wholly unto the Lord, she would never be married. And she was his only child, and because she would never be married, there would be no offspring. In other words, Jephthah's name would die out. There would be no heritage. There would be no one to follow on. And verse number 40 says this, that there's a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah. And the word lament in the original means to talk with. There was a custom that yearly they went to talk with the daughter of Jephthah in Gilead, 4 days in a year. But before I finish, I want you to notice what he said. What he said unto his daughter in verse 35, he says, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. I have opened my mouth unto the Lord. And he says, I cannot go back. Maybe there's someone here in this meeting tonight, and let me tell you, you look back over your life and you remember a night when you made a vow to God. That night when you made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ and you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But I'm asking you a question. Have you gone back? Have you made a vow to God, friend, and withdrawn that vow to God? Did you make a promise to serve the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength? And yet you're back in the world tonight? You once loved the things of God. A friend, be honest, have you kept your vow? Jephthah would naturally want offspring. He would naturally want his daughter to marry and give him an heir. But he had made a vow to God. Notice what he said. I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. Maybe some of you have sang the chorus, I've decided to follow Jesus, and I'm not going back. But friend, you have. You sang the world, the cross before me, the world behind me, and I'm not going back. And yet you have. Maybe there's some of you here tonight and you carried your little child into the presence of God and you dedicated your little one to the Lord, and before God you promised to bring up your child in the fear and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Friend, have you kept your vow? Have you kept it? Do you think that you can make a vow to God, friend, and just cast it aside as if it doesn't count? Because God says, better not to vow than not to pay. Pay your vow unto the Lord. Martin Luther was facing danger as he went to the Diet of Worms. There were those that said to him, Luther, do not go. You will face danger. And what did he say? He says, here I stand. I can do no other. God helping me. We think of the martyrs who vowed to be faithful to God and honor the Lord with their lives, friend. And because they would not deny their Lord, they were put into the flames, they were put into the fires, they were burnt at the stake rather than to disown their Lord. You see, they made a vow unto God. They opened their mouth unto the Lord. And I can't go back. Maybe there's some here tonight. And friend, you have been near the kingdom, but you have gone back. Maybe you're like that rich young ruler who ran to the feet of Jesus. And he said, good master, what should I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him. Give him the answer. The Bible says he went away, sorrowful. Friend, listen, he was so close. And yet was so far. Maybe you're like Felix. You've sat in gospel meetings and the Spirit of God has moved in your heart. You've been concerned about your soul's salvation. And you know your need of Jesus Christ as your Savior, friend. But like Felix, you have trembled. And you are so near the kingdom. But you turn back. Or maybe you're like Felix, or like Agrippa. As Paul preached to him the gospel and challenged him about his need of Christ, he said this, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. So close, friend. But he turned back. Some of these moments, you and I will have to leave this scene of time. I don't know when and I don't know where, but I know I will. And some of these days, you're going to meet God. Tell me, friend, how will you meet him? Ready?
or unready? Saved or lost? So near. But you turn back. I challenge you tonight. Here's a father who made a vow to God. And he says, I've opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. I'm going the whole way with God. Men and women, young people, may God give you the grace, may God give you the courage. Take your stand for Christ. Never be ashamed of him. For one day he went to a cross, unashamed for you. And he died that you might live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. Thou knowest the hearts of those that are gathered here. Thou knowest they're standing before thee. Thou knowest those that love thee as their Savior and are walking with thee. Thou knowest those that once loved thee, but have gone back. Thou knowest those that have never come to thee. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name, bring them to saving faith in Christ. May this be the night of their salvation, for Jesus' sake. Amen.